Welcome to today's Strategic Housing Podcast, where our goals are to connect people, share innovative ideas, and collaborate with partners on affordable housing opportunities and replicable models that strengthen our communities in Kentucky and across the nation. My name is Edwin King, and I'm the Executive Director of the Kentucky Housing Corporation. Today's podcast features special Kentucky guest with a national voice, Glenn Lundy, as an advocate for inspiration and motivation, is the powerful force, creator, and host of the morning show Rise and Grind, live on Facebook and YouTube. Glenn is a powerful speaker, automotive expert, and leader serving as general manager at Dan Cummins Chevrolet Buick here in the Bluegrass, and is a national mentor who teaches us about inspiration and motivation and about personal branding, business strategies, and more. Formerly behind bars and homeless, he has a triumphant story of success and is now married to his best friend, his wife, and is the father of seven children. We are glad that you'll be one of the keynote speakers at the 2019 Kentucky Affordable Housing Conference this coming September in Lexington. Glenn, congratulations on your successes and thanks for joining us today on the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's an honor to be here. I truly, truly appreciate the opportunity.
So, Glenn, maybe tell us a little bit about your background and what led you to Kentucky.
Well, that's an interesting story. I grew up in Flagstaff, Arizona. I come from a military family. So in the early years, we kind of bounced around all over the place. My dad was in the Army, but we landed in Flagstaff. And so that's where I grew up. I'm mixed. My dad's black. My mom's white. And my parents got divorced when I was about 11 years old, I'd say. And it was a really unique and interesting situation for myself because my mom, who is white, remarried a white male. And my dad, who is black, remarried a black woman. And they ended up moving two apartments apart. My dad and his new wife lived in apartment 30. And my mom and my stepdad lived in apartment 28. So it was really interesting because I grew up with two completely different cultures. It was just really interesting growing up in both. And now looking back, it's an asset of mine because I'm able to identify and connect with a lot of different people. However, when I was younger, I didn't really feel or understand where I fit in or if I fit in with anyone. And so I started having some trouble as a teenager. I was a bit of a troubled teen. And ultimately, I got through school okay and went into the automotive industry. I went into sales at a very early age, and I was still kind of lost and confused on who I was and where I belonged. And so when I got into the automotive industry, I started to basically fall into all of the different negative stigmas that you could associate, you know, with sales and salespeople and that lifestyle. And so I spent a lot of time, if I wasn't at work, I was partying somewhere or, you know, drinking or just whatever. And it was all about that mighty dollar. And I really didn't have any other focus on in life other than, you know, sell some cars, make some money and party it up. So it wasn't long before that lifestyle kind of caught up with me. And I had a little girl that I wasn't really paying much attention to. And I ended up losing custody of her at 6 years old. And so when I lost custody of her, I was kind of in this position. Flagstaff's not a very big city. So I was in a position where I wasn't allowed to see my daughter, but yet we were in this small town where I would see her and her mom at the grocery store or, you know, different places, but I wasn't allowed to have contact. And so that led me to pack up everything that I owned and just kind of hit the road. So I had a Ford Mustang at the time, a white Ford Mustang, which just goes to show I wasn't the smartest guy in the world. It snows 6 months out of the year in Flagstaff, Arizona, and we're talking deep snow. And here I was driving a rear-wheel drive sports car, but I loaded up my Ford Mustang and I hit the road and just started kind of traveling around trying to find my way. And at that point in my life, I went to Las Vegas for a little while. You know, I had this grandiose idea that I was going to be a professional poker player, which was, you know, brilliant, of course, on my part. And that didn't last long. And then I made my way over to Southern California, burning bridges all along the way. And ultimately, long story short, I woke up one day and I had nowhere to go. I had no one to turn to, had no one to call. So I ended up homeless on the streets in San Diego, California for a short period of time. And so during that period of time, I would sleep on the buses. I would wake up around 6 a.m. They'd kick me off the bus as they went back to the depot. The buses run 24 hours out there, but they would dock at 6 a.m. and they would kick me off the bus. And I would spend the majority of the day kind of walking around looking for nickels and dimes and quarters and anything that I could gather so that I could get myself a sausage McMuffin with egg or something to fuel me for the day. And so I spent a short period of my life kind of homeless on the streets. And that brought me to a point in my life where I didn't feel I had worth. I didn't feel I had any value. And so I attempted, being not a very good swimmer, I attempted to kill myself by going out into the Pacific Ocean as far as I could possibly go, knowing that I wouldn't have the ability to get back to the shore. Well, luckily for me, I was not successful in that attempt. And as I was washed back up on the shore, I had a moment of clarity where I realized this life wasn't going to be easy and I wasn't going to be able to take the easy way out. So from that point forward, I started making some moves to understand my spirituality a little bit better. And once I got a better understanding that there are multiple parts to us, I did some traveling around the country. I got a job that allowed me to travel all over the country. And it was really interesting. I landed here in Kentucky. I was doing a job in Lexington, Kentucky. And as I was driving around, being a car guy, you tend to look at the license plate frames on different cars. And so I'm looking at the license plate frames and everywhere I see Glenn, right? Glenn, because there's a big auto mall here in Lexington, Glenn Auto Mall. So I would see Glenn. And then as I'm driving around New Circle Road, I would see Lundy's Catering. The big catering trucks would go by saying Lundy's. And so it was like Glenn Lundy. And I was like, maybe Kentucky is where I am supposed to be. So after visiting Kentucky, I went back home, scrapped up $1,500 cash, and I grabbed a suitcase and jumped on a plane and landed in Lexington Bluegrass Airport. And that, my friend, is how I ended up here in Kentucky.
Wow, what an incredible story. So out of all of that, Glenn, what was the defining moment that helped you take ownership of your life and change your personal strategy to reach your successes?
Well, there was something that kind of happened once I got here to Kentucky, and I was still making plenty of poor decisions, lots of mistakes. It was a new environment, new people, but it was still the same me. It was still the same Glenn. And there was an experience with my grandfather. I got to back up just a little bit. My grandfather was also military. My grandmother was military as well. And they were married for 49 years. My grandmother never had a driver's license. They literally did everything together. My grandfather took her everywhere that she ever wanted to go. They were just a beautiful couple. And my grandfather got real sick with cancer. He was in the hospital and we were told that he didn't have very much longer to live. And so the family had to make their way to the hospital, which was difficult for our military family because we were all over the place. And so it took a while for everybody to get to the hospital. But after about a day and a half, everybody was at the hospital. And there was my grandfather. He was frail. He was brittle. He was thin. He was unrecognizable. And we were all around his bed. And my grandfather, he grew up in the military, right? So he liked dirty jokes, right? He was a Christian man, but he liked dirty jokes. And there at the end, he asked my stepdad to come in and tell him his favorite joke. And so my stepdad leaned in and he told him his favorite joke. Everybody kind of laughed a little bit. My grandfather smiled. And then my grandfather said, "Bring me my wife." And as my grandma walked over there, she's this tiny little thing, like 4'6". And she walks over, she climbs into bed with my grandfather, and he wrapped his arms around her. And in that very moment, he passed away. And so I learned two things from that experience that changed my life forever. The first thing that I learned is that we are indeed spiritual beings. There's no doubt in my mind. Science cannot explain to me how a man held on. At the end, he held on until the very last relative was there. He got told his favorite joke with a smile on his face, and he died with his wife in his arms. That was his choice. He chose the way that he went out. And so that was the first thing I learned, is that we are spiritual beings. And with that comes an ability to do powerful things and a responsibility to make an impact on this planet. But the second thing that I learned from that experience was we are most comfortable in life right before death. Like, my grandfather was unrecognizable up till that moment when he smiled. And then I could see him and he was comfortable. The pain all went away. And as he wrapped his arms around his wife, I could see that he was comfortable in that very last moment right before death. And that's always stuck with me because I used to seek comfort. I used to think comfort was the solution. I know a lot of people that are just say, oh, well, I just want enough to be comfortable. And I realized that I'm personally not ready to die yet. So I'm not seeking comfort. I'm going to continue to put myself in uncomfortable situations so that I can continue to grow, continue to live, continue to strive towards that responsibility of making an impact on this planet.
Well, great. I think that's a great segue into sort of the next topic of the podcast, and that's your show and blog. Can you tell us a little bit about your show and maybe the mission behind Rise and Grind?
Yes, sir. I've got this show that I do Monday through Friday mornings at 5:30 a.m. called Hashtag Rise and Grind. And my passion behind Rise and Grind is two things. One, I believe that if we can change the way people start their day, it'll make a massive impact on this planet. I truly believe that. That first hour of the day is so crucially and vitally important in people's growth and people's success and people's well-being. But another reason that I do the show is when I was homeless, I remember a very specific day. I remember I woke up, I had slept on the beach that night, and I remember waking up and there were couples walking up and down the beach, and there was a guy that was jogging by, and there were some kids playing in the sand. There was all this beauty and all of these people around me, and none of them would make eye contact with me. I was basically invisible. You know, here I was, this homeless guy. So nobody would make eye contact with me. I was invisible. And every day just kept repeating as that. And that's what led me to that real deep state of depression, is I had no hope for tomorrow. I had nothing to look forward to. I felt at the time every day was going to be the same. I was going to be this invisible man that walked the streets looking for change. And so I created Rise and Grind so that I could give people something to look forward to, a reason to make a good decision tonight, because I know I got to get up early tomorrow and I'm going to watch the show. And for people that feel alone and don't feel they have anywhere to go or anyone to turn to, I'm there. Guaranteed 5:30 a.m. Monday through Friday, I will be there, and you can hop in and I'll say good morning to you and you can say good morning to me. And it's something that you can count on and have hope for. So my mission behind it is to change the way people start their day and also to give people hope.
So in your blog, you wrote about changing your life and incorporating these five morning routines, which we can all learn and benefit from. Can you maybe talk about these and what these rules are and why they're important in your philosophy of Rise and Grind?
Yeah, man, I sure can. I kind of crept out of the sea, started to change my life, made my way to Kentucky. And then as I got here and started to understand myself on a spiritual level, then that kind of moved to where I started studying success. I started studying successful people. And it started with motivational speakers like Les Brown and Eric Thomas and guys like that. And then that kind of shifted over and started translating into studying, you know, the Jeff Bezos and the Bill Gates and the Steve Jobs. You know, those types of success stories. And what I found is that very consistently, the majority of highly successful people have some sort of disciplined morning routine. So that sparked my interest, and I started doing some more research and studying and how the mind works in that first hour of the day. And so I started just by kind of trial and error, different things, different morning routines that would maybe work for me, and this kind of worked and that didn't work, and so on and so forth. And ultimately, over time, it evolved into five simple steps that I believe if everyone would apply these things first thing in their morning, they too can live an extraordinary life. And so those five steps are as follows. Step one is never, ever, ever press the snooze button. And the reason behind that is it goes way back to caveman days. It's in our DNA. We sleep in cycles as human beings for protective reasons. Like back in the day, it did not make survival sense to sleep for 8 hours straight in a deep sleep. It wasn't safe. And so we've been trained to sleep in cycles. So typically most people's cycles are anywhere from 2 to 3 hours long. You start off, you go down into a deep sleep, you make your way back up to a lighter sleep, and then back down and back up, so on and so forth. And so once I learned about sleep cycles, I realized that by pressing that snooze button, your body is already prepared to wake up. It knows that it's coming. You've created the habit. You've been setting your alarm for the same same time for however long. So it knows that it's coming. So you're at peak alert sleep cycle when that alarm clock goes off. And the instant we press that snooze button, it literally sends us into another sleep cycle. So basically what it means is you're trading an extra 10 minutes of rest for an hour and a half to 2 hours of feeling groggy, feeling tired, not feeling alert, because your body's going to go through that full sleep cycle whether you're awake or not. So step one is we never hit the snooze button. When the alarm clock goes off, feet hit the floor, it's time to rock and roll. Step two is to not touch your phone first thing in the morning. And when I say never touch your phone, I kind of have to put a little asterisk next to that, because I wake up every single day. I don't hit snooze. I grab my phone, but what I do is I go straight to YouTube. I go to instrumental music that has no words. I put my headphones on and I use the music to kind of help me get going in the morning, but I specifically don't have words in it because I don't want anyone else's opinions, ideas, or thoughts to move me in any direction. This is my time. It's all about me first thing in the morning. So when I say don't touch your phone, what I mean by that is don't get into your emails. Don't go into your text messages. Don't go into social media. We all know as soon as we grab that phone, you're going to get a text from somebody that has some type of problem, or somebody passed away, or you're going to get an email that there was a bad review, or there's something that's going wrong at work, or you're going to jump into your social media and then it's just all negative. And we don't need that first thing in the morning. We've got all day for that stuff. We don't need it first thing in the morning. It's not good brain food when your brain is looking to absorb everything around it. So if we don't touch our phones first thing in the morning, put that aside. You can get to it later. Step three is we write down our gratitude, everything that we're thankful for, and we write down goals. And I know that this sounds like two steps, but really it's not. I mean, you could do them separately, but they're not as effective. So when I say write down our gratitude list, it's just start by writing down everything that you're thankful for. It could be that I'm thankful for heat when I used to sleep in the cold. It can be that I'm thankful for light so that I have the ability to sit here this morning and write. It could be that I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my children. I'm thankful for God and His love and forgiveness. Whatever it is, we just start writing down the things that we are thankful for so that we can get ourselves vibrating on a certain frequency where we're in a positive state of mind. And now we go into our goals. And you see, I know a lot of people will go right into goals first thing in the morning. And I think that that's misnomer is maybe the word that I'm looking for. Goals are powerful and goals are important. But if we go into our goals from a place of lack, like it's like, oh, well, I wish I had this and I wish I had that. When we go into it with a negative energy, a negative vibe, we don't get the results that we're looking for. So it's important that we start from a place of gratitude. We are thankful for the things that we have. However, we would love to stretch and reach for more. So from gratitude list, we go into our goals. Obviously, I'm sure you've heard it a million times over, but if we don't have direction in our life, then we end up directionless, right? So we've got to set the tone. Where are we going? Where are we headed? What are we trying to accomplish? What's important? What's not important? All of those things, we want to start to write those down so we have a roadmap, a blueprint of where we want to take our lives. Step four, then, now that we've not hit the snooze button, we didn't touch our phone first thing in the morning. We wrote down everything we're thankful for and our goals to give ourselves some direction and some gratitude in our lives. Now we go into step fours, which is where we take care of the physical. And that can mean lots of different things. For me, sometimes that means I go play basketball in the morning, or I might go play a round of golf, or I might go to the gym and work out, or I might like to run. Whatever it is, everybody, literally everybody, is different. So whatever works for you physically is what's important. But what the key is there's three parts to us. There's mind, body, and spirit. So we've got to take care of that body. We can't leave that out. So once we take care of ourselves physically, now this is it. This is it. Step five is the key to all of this. See, we've spent the morning very selfishly, right? We didn't hit snooze. We didn't go into our phones. We're not responding to anybody else. We're not paying attention to anybody else. We're doing our gratitude list. We're looking at our goals. We're looking at our future. We've taken care of ourselves physically. Now at this point, now that we're vibrating on this incredibly high frequency, now I want you to do step five, which is I want you to send out an encouraging message. Lift someone up, whether it be a text message, whether it be Facebook Messenger, maybe it's something that you say to your kids, maybe it's something you say to your wife, maybe it's something that you say to the person who works the door at the gym. But release this positive energy to encourage or to lift someone up, to make someone else's day. And that's our way of giving back to the universe. And if you can do those five things, those five simple things every single day, I can guarantee you will live an extraordinary life.
Great. So don't press the snooze button. Stay away from your phone. Write that gratitude list and your goals. Take care of the physical and get active and send encouragement to others. Wow. I think that's a great list that we can all certainly benefit from. Glenn, you're working on a book project. What is the message you're sharing with readers? Or maybe give us a little insight, if you can, on that book project.
Well, I have a couple different books. So I just wrote The Morning Five, which is the things that we kind of went over. I just did a real short ebook that anybody can get. It's free, themorningfive.com. And ultimately, the reason that I released that is, again, they're five simple steps that I think, I mean, just imagine what the world would look like, right? Like here I was running this dealership and I had a bunch of millennial age young men and women that were working for me. And the way that they typically woke up was, well, first they would stay up all night playing, you know, Fortnite or whatever. Then they would wake up the next morning at the last minute, right? Throw on their clothes, rush out of the house, get to work 5 minutes late, jump into work. And then they needed to go grab some breakfast, or they started into the gossip and all this other stuff. And then I'd try to work them for, you know, however many hours of the day. And I noticed the performance level was just average at best. And it wasn't until I taught these young people how to make a better decision the night before, wake up early, spend some time on themselves, and do these five things. Once I could get my team involved in doing all of these things, we were able to move mountains as a dealership. I grew the dealership here in Kentucky that I worked at, Dan Cummins. We grew the dealership 800% in 5 years. So I know this system works, and I know the difference that it makes, not just for the person that does the five things, but for all the people around them. These young men and women started having better relationships with their kids, better relationships with their girlfriends, with their boyfriends, with their parents. They just started becoming more of an asset to the community and making an impact on every single person around them. So I decided, man, I've got to put this in book form and I've got to get it out to as many people as humanly possible because it works. If I can get it in one person's hand, that ripple effect from that one person is going to affect tens of people, if not hundreds of people nationwide. So that was an important project to me to get that out. And then I'm also working on another book called Grow Your Business for God's Sake. And that book is my big project. And that book basically takes my story. It combines it with some of the things I learned over the years, combines it with all of my business experience over the last 20 years in the automotive industry, and it kind of puts it all together with a little bow on it. And so I want to teach people how to grow their business so that they have extra dollars that they can in turn use that money to give back into their communities and make an impact. So that's a really passionate project that I'm working on right now. I've also got a conference with the same title, Grow Your Business for God's Sake. We've got a conference that's going on down in Nashville, Tennessee in August that I'm excited about. But that's kind of my mission behind those two books.
Well, that's great. So your one book, you mentioned that you were going to be talking about some of your personal experiences. I'm assuming that your homelessness experience will be included in that book.
Yeah, absolutely. It goes through the whole story in depth. I have learned to be an open book. I have learned that my tragedy can sometimes inspire others and keep others from having to go through the same thing. Though at times it can be embarrassing, the person I was back then is not the person that I am today. So I try to share my story to whoever I feel like it could make an impact in their life, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Glenn, so our listeners can learn more about you and your show, Rise and Grind, where can they go for more information?
Man, I try to make it really easy because nowadays it's crazy, right? You got Instagram, you got Facebook, you got all these places. So for me, all you have to do is go to glennlundy.com, glennlundy.com. And if you go there, it'll link you to my show. It'll link you to Facebook, to Instagram, to the conferences, everything that we're doing. It's all right there at glennlundy.com.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your time with us today and sharing some of your story, your place of abundance and positivity, and for inspiring us to take ownership of our lives and expanding to a greater good to lift others up.
Oh, man, you bet. Absolutely. Like, thanks for having me. It's crazy how this just flies by, right? 30 minutes just flies by so quick. That's awesome. So I'm excited to see you guys at the event and looking forward to sharing some more on the stage and just really appreciate you.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. And we certainly look forward to hearing much more from you during the upcoming 2019 Kentucky Affordable Housing Conference, Beyond the Vision of Home, which will be held at the Lexington Convention Center in Lexington, Kentucky, for our listeners on Thursday and Friday, September 12th and 13th. Then Glenn will record his live show, Rise and Grind, during our conference at 5:30 a.m. on that Friday, September 13th. So we certainly look forward to that.
Yeah, man. I'm excited for that, man. It's going to be great. Hopefully we can have some live viewers there on the show. Normally it's just me like talking to myself in a room is what I feel like sometimes. So it'll be nice to have some people around. It'd be great.
Yeah, we definitely look forward to it. Well, Glenn, thanks again. And to our audience, thank you for connecting with us today and listening to this podcast. You're welcome to join the conversation by leaving comments, and please share today's podcast in your social media streams to help us broaden our conversation. Also, we invite you to follow us on social media. Until next time, thank you.